The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of the disciples preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him." But others said, "It is Elijah." And others said, "It is a prophet like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had sent men to arrest Jesus, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for his guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a gruesome story. Here in our gospel lesson this morning, if you were coming to hear a story of rejoicing or gladness, this is not the morning to come. It's a sad story. You think about all the TV shows and the movies and the violence that is on there. But in the Bible, there are some very gruesome stories as well. We've just heard one this morning. It makes it kind of hard to say at the end of the reading, the gospel of the Lord. Where's the good news in this? It's hard to picture it, because the person who ends up on the platter, the head on the platter, is none other than John the Baptist, the one who was the forerunner of Christ, a cousin of Jesus. He was the one who was out in the wilderness proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Change your ways, make the path straight. The Savior is coming. Get ready." He's the one, too, who baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. We hear about John every Advent season, because in Advent the readings come around to John, and we hear of John at least once or even twice during the Advent season. And so we know his story. We know who John is. But here we hear the ending of John. We hear that story, that gruesome story of John. This is a text that would have made it easy to avoid this morning because of how gruesome it is. But then when we consider the other texts this morning too, they follow very closely along the same theme. The Old Testament lesson was from Amos. And Amos was a prophet, or actually he was a herdsman, it says, and a dresser of sycamore trees. He had animals, he raised farm animals, and he also had crops. And God chose him to become a prophet, a reluctant prophet, yet Amos went. He went from that southern country of Judah to the northern kingdom of Israel. That's where God had sent him to be a prophet. He went up there and he told the people, repent of your ways, change your ways. God is concerned about the injustices here. He's concerned about the way you are treating the poor and the underclass, those unfortunate people. He's concerned about the corruption in government. He's concerned about the corruption in business and the way that you treat each other. God is concerned about your idol worship up here. Change your ways. Repent. But he didn't receive a warm welcome. Amaziah was the priest or was the temple prophet up in Bethel. And he was a professional prophet or priest. Amaziah did not get along with Amos. He was upset at the words that Amos said, particularly about the king, that the king would be put to the sword. A raging army would come through Israel and would level the cities and would also capture all the people and would cart them off into a distant land as slaves. And Amaziah cries out that the land cannot contain his words, cannot contain Amos's words. And he told Amos to leave, to get out. Don't be a prophet here anymore. Go back to your own country and be a prophet. Amos was not well received. That word of God was not well received. I also looked at the second lesson this morning too, and that's a letter to the Ephesians written by the Apostle Paul, and you also know the story of Paul, of how at first he was a persecutor of Christians, and then through that miraculous story of his conversion, he became the leading evangelist in the early church, and he went from town to town, from country to country, all throughout the Near East and Southern Europe, and he started the churches. But that too didn't always go so well because Paul was rejected many times. Many times he was thrown into prison. Sometimes he was even tortured. He was chained up. And eventually too, Paul was hung on a cross for his Christian faith. Prophets do not have an easy time. John the Baptist becomes not only the messenger, but he becomes the message for us this morning. I always think John the Baptist is an interesting character. For one thing, of the way he dressed. He dressed in a coat made of camel hair and a leather belt. And the food that he ate was locusts and wild honey. He was out in the middle of the wilderness, preaching up a storm, telling the people to repent. And he didn't care if he made people angry. He even called the religious leaders a brood of vipers, or to put it another way, a bunch of snakes, a tangled mess of snakes, he called them. He didn't care who he ticked off. He didn't care who he made mad. And in that, though, there is freedom. There is freedom, complete freedom. Even though he was thrown into prison, even though he was beheaded, he still had complete freedom to follow that word of God. It cost him his life, but he had the freedom. He didn't have to worry about what people thought about him. He didn't have to think about how he would be taken care of. He didn't think about the dangers of the world. He had freedom simply to be a prophet, to be able to proclaim, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the Savior is near. Change your ways, make straight the paths of the Lord. Herod was intrigued with him. When Herod arrested him, Herod would go down and listen to him. And Herod knew that he was a righteous and holy man, that he did speak the words of God, but he would not release him. He could not because of political reasons. Eventually, Herod is tricked, And Herod does martyr John. God calls prophets at different times from different places. The prophets proclaim God's word. Many of the prophets were reluctant to go, such as Amos, such as Jeremiah, Isaiah. A number of those were fearful of going because they knew what the consequences could be. But they spoke powerful messages. Many people did repent. Many people did turn. Paul did start a number of churches, and Christianity spread around the world because of the work that Paul did. God was working through him. And God works through each and every one of us. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians in our lesson this morning, that you have been given every spiritual gift in the heavenly places. God has blessed us richly and given us the ability to be prophets, to be messengers, to be evangelists, to be caregivers, to be Christians, and to worship and follow Christ. He calls us to use those gifts, to bring that good news to everyone. But many times we're reluctant to do that too, aren't we? We don't want to go. We don't want to say things. We don't want to do things for fear of persecution. And the persecution may be very simple. It may be simply that people ignore us. Or it may be that people reject us. Or it may be that people laugh at us. Or that maybe people look at us. All the way from that point, all the way to the point of becoming a martyr. Martyrdom still happens today. Many countries, it is illegal to be a Christian, to own a Bible, to even speak about Christianity to other people. And people are dying for that. But they are speaking that word of God. They are bringing that love of Christ to people who have never heard it before. Being a prophet is tough. But sometimes that message does get through. And you may not even know it that you're a prophet at the time. I know I was in a restaurant a couple of years ago with another Christian friend. And we, as the food came, we bowed our heads and we said a prayer. A few minutes later, the waitress came by and said, "You've made my day today to see you praying here for your food." You never know when you're going to touch somebody's heart. You never know. It may be just planting a seed, and then that seed doesn't grow or mature until even several years later. But God calls us to be prophets, as hard as it is, as dangerous as it is. And even when we walk through those deepest valleys, when that persecution seems tough, when it seems hard to do, God is there with us. Christ is shining his light in the darkness. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith through Christ Jesus. Amen.